Now's the time to start getting ready for colder weather. Why? Gibson Propane is offering fall savings with prices that make it easy. Sign up with Gibson Propane and fill your tank today to take advantage of this hot propane deal. Gibson Propane delivers the safest and most reliable service, including forklifts, dispensers, and temp heat for construction. Don't be left out in the cold this winter season. Call Gibson Propane today at 901-363-0101 or 1-800-AmeriGas.
Dell's dedicated small business advisors give you tech advice and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. And now's the time to save on select business PCs with 8th-gen Intel Core processors until the end of the year. Maximize this year's budget and find the right tech solution for your business. Plus, get free shipping on everything. Visit Dell.com/business deals or call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Favorite 92.9 FM ESPN on the radio.com app. Your home of the Eric Hasseltine Show. Weekdays from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m.
Bring it up.
Put three on the board.
WMFS FM and HD1. WMFS Memphis. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. I ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I ain't getting no interviews. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up because you know where there's rubble and dust. Cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
you know, I have, I could never do it for all kinds of reasons, but I have enormous admiration for chefs, for people who start, own, operate restaurants. A, because the hours are just must be hellacious, right?
Indeed.
B, because the risks, we know, like, most don't work, right? So it's a total leap of faith. The hours are unbelievable.
It's hard work.
It's incredibly hard work. You're on your feet. You're
completely dependent on the work of others also to help.
That's true. The workforce must be like,
yeah.
And then the whims of the people, right?
Agreed.
And
taste of people.
So whether it's Andrew and Michael or Kelly English or Don DeWeese or folks who operate places that serve food, I don't know how they do it.
Sir Jim and Nick's.
Exactly right. The folks at the Rendezvous have been doing it for forever. What amazes me about that is you have an institution going on, right? Like, it's an institution. And yet they're still there every day. Like, Nick Virgos is, like, he's part of an institution. But it doesn't mean you can just lay back and let it operate on its own, right? Anyway, and I say this because Gary Williams died. He is the... He was displaced by Katrina from New Orleans, and then he brought his unbelievably good food to Memphis, where he owned Deja Vu, which had several locations over the years in Florida, and then there was one, there are a couple bigger ones, and now he was just the chef at Crew of Deja Vu, he died. Of a heart attack on December 5th. And that story is that he died of a heart attack yesterday.
Yep.
Yes. And that story is, and it's, he was really beloved. he was there. Like, he was there. And the food was great. And he's just 56 years old. And even though he was, and I think this is true, it's why when people talk about how Memphians, if you're not from Memphis, you don't understand it or whatever, it's or something. I found two things to be true. I think that, first of all, Memphis has benefited enormously from people who've come from, who aren't Memphians, who come here, right?
Amen.
Whether that's John Calipari, for example, or Elvis Presley, or Gary Williams, right? And then secondly, I think a whole lot of people who come here from somewhere else come to love the place. Gary Williams was a guy who obviously was from New Orleans. And then at first he went to Las Vegas. And Jennifer Biggs, I've tweeted out her story on him at the Daily Memphian. But she points out that he had a Las Vegas phone number, but that Memphis was the place that he held closest to his heart. I think that's an easy place. I guess if you just read the headlines and as soon as you get here, you want to move out and you whatever, I suppose. But I think it's an easy place to fall in love with. And he very clearly did. And so I have great admiration for Gary Williams, and obviously condolences to his family and to the city of Memphis, which will miss him. Today on the show, we will be joined by Steve White. Steve White, will talk NFL with us. That's always a highlight. We'll do that next. A bunch of things to get to Steve White about. You know, the Iggy owes Dallas Cowboy fans an apology.
Ooh.
Not an apology.
No,
you don't apologize for being wrong.
It's one game, and then on top of that.
Well, do you think it's not just one game? It was three games, and then last week's game was the game where they were supposed to be exposed, and then they stepped up, and I don't think it was one game.
So you beat Colt McCoy. I mean, last week, there's no taking away.
You had three games that you were thinking, okay, maybe they're fraudulent, okay? You had three games, three wins. You're like, if you find reasons why all of those were meaningless, right?
Indeed.
But you can't find any reason last week's game was meaningless.
No, I agree. That's why I said last week's win.
So that's not just one game. It's one tremendous game, which follows three other games, which sort of validates those three prior games, suggests they weren't fluky.
All right. Falcons, who are sitting at 4 and
what you're telling me is that those three games were all fraudulent. I agree with that.
Right.
I already stipulated that.
Correct. And so that's what I'm saying.
It's four games now. It's three games that were like, I don't know. Like, these teams aren't very impressive for one reason or another. And then it's followed up by a prove it game.
Do you still believe that that team has any chance of
winning the Super Bowl? No.
I'm saying any chance of making it to even the NFC Championship game?
Sure. Chance. Sure.
Okay, you think they're going to beat the Saints again on the road?
I doubt it. I doubt it. I doubt it. I do not think they will. I do not think they will. He just said, what I'm saying is, he said, I hope you enjoyed that three-game winning streak, because tonight they're going to get thumped. And they did not.
I did not think that the Cowboys, well, I guess,
nobody
I always thought the Cowboys,
no, no,
I thought
thought
the Cowboys'
no
pass rush
coming.
Was good. No, oh, hey, of course not. I bet on the Saints. But my point is that I have seen the Cowboys' pass rush look very good at times this year, and that's basically what it was. It wasn't like they just sat there and lined up and outscored them. I mean, for God's sakes,
no,
they were 1 for 5 in the red zone.
They certainly did not outscore them, and Dak kept putting the ball on the ground. It was a mediocre offensive performance, and they are a mediocre offensive team. But anyway, we will talk to him about this. He was great. I can't wait to talk to Steve, and so we'll do that in the next segment. Chris Harrington's going to join us at 10 o'clock to talk about the Grizzlies. Really a robust day over at the Daily Memphian, even though I do not have something new today, which I'm sure breaks your heart. Jennifer Biggs does have that piece up, and Chris Harrington was there last night, and we will talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies, among the other various things we have to get to, including a wonderful, wonderful, spectacular riff on the playoff system by our man, Coach Leach. You've heard it, haven't you?
I have indeed.
Yeah. No, it's great. It wasn't path-breaking, but
no.
Just to hear him say it, he does a lovely job.
The thing that makes Leach amazing is we act like coaches are so robotic that you have a human being that talks like a human being.
Well, he's not like a funny human being.
Right, but
like,
I'm saying
great.
But I'm saying everyone talks like he has so much personality. It's like, Yeah, well, he's clearly a relatively intelligent guy. He's obviously a Pepperdine alum, so you can make the argument maybe he's one of the most intelligent guys out there. And he's honest. Like, you ask him a question, he gives you an honest answer.
The single worst coach that I may have ever heard. I don't know. I will tell you this. In terms of pure
BS, like
boring.
Coach B?
No, just boring.
Okay.
Just totally boring.
Okay.
You cannot do worse than Josh Heupel or better or whatever.
Ooh.
Like, you cannot.
Played for Leach.
You can get meaner coaches, right? You can get meaner coaches. You can get coaches who are mm-hmm. snapped back at the media mm-hmm. or are tougher on the media or mm-hmm. whatever. And hey, you can get Popovich, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of just being boring,
mm-hmm.
like the most boring
mm-hmm.
I've ever heard.
Milk toast.
Josh Heupel. And then there is an absolutely, did you see the meme going around? It was a picture of Josh Heupel that said,
eating.
What? It said, congratulations, Josh Heupel, congratulations, UCF, on having a coach who looks like Justin Timberlake would have looked like had he stayed in Millington.
That's a pretty decent meme.
It's dead on.
Yes.
Like, if you look at fat Josh Heupel.
Yes.
And you think, this is exactly what he would have looked like. No offense to Millington, mind you. I also look like that. So, anyway, all right. So that's what we're going to do today.
And balding.
What?
And balding.
Yes, we are going to talk to Steve White coming up next. We will talk to Chris Harrington as well. But before we do that, we have something to get to. When is the last time we play? It's been a long time.
Because we've had some games where the Grizzlies won on Friday, but
right.
then like, they come back and lose
Friday,
on Sunday.
We don't do and lose on Sunday. We don't do highlights on Monday.
Correct.
And so they have won occasionally, but not much. And
it's
so
been weeks.
With great delight, we are able to bring you highlights of the Grizzlies. Very important. 96-86, and it was much, as they say, closer than the score indicated.
Uh-huh.
It was a little more tense than the score indicated. When they
uh-huh.
booted away that lead in the third quarter, you're like, holy smokes. But it was a 96-86 win over the once upon a time, but no longer particularly hated Los Angeles Clippers. Let's do this. To a great start. Mike Conley is in the middle of it.
Up ahead, Anderson finds Conley streaking to the hoop. He lays it up and in. Six straight for the Grizz to start the game. 9:54 remaining.
All of those were transition baskets. I mean, Jarrett running to the front of the rim, and then both of them getting layups, he and Conley.
Didn't stop at six straight. They went up to 10 straight. Here's Mark with his one basket.
He's all going to fade away from the foul line. 15-footer is good. That is such a difficult shot that he makes look easy off of one foot. Gasol's on the board. Four of the five starters have scored. Grizzlies lead 10-0.
It is funny because you hear that. Such a difficult shot that he made it look easy, which is true.
Yes.
Everything else, whether they were easy or not, he made look difficult.
Yes.
For the rest of the night on, as he was 1 of 13. And now, having said that, he was just off offensively. He could not hit a shot. But he hung in there. He made defensive plays, took a charge late, tapped out a rebound late. Like, he continued to, as they say, battle. But it was also, and this was a good thing, we'll get to the Noah stuff in a minute, but it was also the fewest minutes he's played in a long time, Mark, with 33 minutes, and that's good.
Amen.
So
I also like the fact that often we see Mark decides in the first 5 to 10 minutes of a game
that he doesn't have it.
Yeah, and then so then it's not like he quits, he just quits shooting. I liked last night that he kept shooting. Because statistically, it's not likely that he's going to be.
It is funny.
Like a 10% shooter.
If science tells us there's no such thing as a hot hand.
Right. There should be a cold hand.
That there should also not. If science should also tell us there's no such thing as a cold hand.
Correct.
But very clearly, watching last night, you knew there was such a thing as a cold hand.
Absolutely.
I don't believe in this one little area. I don't believe it. He very clearly didn't have it last night. Whatever a cold hand means, he didn't have it last night. But he did continue.
To me, it's the same idea as, remember, you and I have discussed it, like the whole narrative with Bo Wallace, good Bo, bad Bo. And I kept telling you, No, Bo is an average quarterback. So at times he does good things. On the flip side, on the inverse.
Don't you think it's more than just, that's what science would say, is that it's just happenstance because you're going to get good things and bad things. Don't you think it's actually more also, there are some nights when you are have greater confidence and the confidence feeds confidence. And
yes.
When you are not confident, you second guess, which then feeds into your mechanics.
Yes.
Right? And so
it's confidence.
Yeah. I think it's largely confidence related.
Yes.
Marshawn Brooks contributed last night.
Right corner, Brooks, wide open looking at three, ring it up. Put three on the board. Little dose of the Clippers' own medicine working the ball around the perimeter. And Marshawn Brooks hits his first triple of the night.
Absolutely. You don't have a shot, Eric. Swing the basketball to the open guys. Just that simple.
He's had an interesting year. In some ways, a disappointment. And yet, they're clearly trying to get him more minutes lately. Last night, they need scoring from the wing. And when Garrett Temple had the kind of night that he had last night, which was not good, it's important that people like Marshawn Brooks step up. Every single bench player was a plus last night. Marshawn Brooks had 9 points in 16 minutes. Speaking of the bench, Omri Caspi.
Caspi working off the dribble at Williams. Caspi drives into the paint, pump fakes, gets by Williams, floats it up and in with the right hand. Caspi using his 6'9" frame to shoot over the top of the 6'1" Lou Williams. He gets the bucket, 13-point Grizzly lead.
It's becoming a very interesting team. Like the personalities and the funky. Chris Harrington did a poll yesterday, and we'll get the results when we talk to him, asking who has the most entertaining shot now.
Yes,
right?
And that is very...
Whether it's
three candidates.
I think there were four, actually.
Okay.
Jaren Jackson's sort of push jumper
right.
was one.
Mm-hmm.
Omri Caspi's lollipop
whatever
shot
it is.
Was one. Kyle's...
Oh, okay, yeah,
whatever it is, was one. And now Noah's Sidewinder was one. So which would you vote for of those?
Caspi's... No matter how many times I've seen Caspi shoot, it still takes me by surprise. Like, for whatever reason...
I think it was the winner.
Yeah.
I do believe it was the winner, but we'll talk to Chris about it later. And then Mike Conley, who ended up with 22, was very good. Hit the runner to end the... from about 79 feet to end the half.
3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. Conley floats it up with the right hand. Knocks it down from 30. Ring it up. Put three on the board. A right-handed running three at the horn. And Conley looks at his right hand and says, how can it be so? I'm a left-handed player, but my right hand is magic tonight.
That's a pretty good call by Eric. How
Eric's
can it
very
be so?
Good.
How can it be so? I may have been slightly exaggerating with the 79 feet. 30 feet.
It's close enough.
But it was long.
We round up.
Anyway, so the Grizzlies go into the half with a 9-point lead, and you're feeling, okay, baby, this is great. This is fantastic.
Chris might get a smooth, easy win.
Within a matter of minutes, it felt like the Clippers had the lead.
Shocking.
Grizzlies tried to hang in there. Jermichael contributed. Here's Jermichael. He was really good last night.
It's knocked off the iron by Gasol. Tapped out to the wing. Great hustle by Gasol. Keeps it alive. Anderson bounces to Green. Green to the rim. Right-handed jam. Off a great feed from Kyle Anderson. Gasol kept it alive. And the Grizzlies regain the lead 54-53.
You love that kind of effort.
Jaren Jackson Jr. was in foul trouble again last night. Some of them totally bogus from our man Tony Brothers. But he did foul. Hit some big shots. Hit a big, big three down the stretch. But so it was all that much more important than Jermichael stepped up. 19 points, 11 rebounds, and what I think you have to say is his best game of the year. We mentioned Marshawn Brooks. Here he is again.
Anderson up to the right wing. Brooks steps into an open three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. The bucket getter. Marshawn Brooks knocks it down. Off the bench tonight, Marshawn 3-for-5 for 8 points. Grizzlies all of a sudden a 7-point lead.
But now we come to the man of the night. And here's what was amazing to me. There are a bunch of things that were amazing to me about watching Joakim Noah last night. First, he was effective. Like, he was, you can't, he had 4 points and three rebounds, right? You couldn't, his line in 13 minutes. But
he was passing the eye test.
He was. He injected unbelievable energy. He steps right in. He's effective defensively. He's contributing. He's like an immediate asset. And he allowed Mark to play 33 minutes. So I don't know if you saw this from David Thorpe, but David Thorpe
did. He retweeted.
David Thorpe has connections to Florida, right? And so he's a Florida guy. He tends to like Florida guys. But he basically tweeted out, I don't have the tweet right in front of me, he said it's a sneaky great signing by the Grizzlies. And between Mark and Noah and Jaren Jackson Jr., the Grizzlies have among the best defensive bigs in the league right now.
Grizzlies signing Noah is secretly awesome. I heard great things about how he looked this summer. The addition can send them to number one on defense overall. He fits perfectly into their half-court offense. Gasol, Jackson, Noah as defensive bigs is tops in the league as a group.
There you go. And that is a man who knows what he is talking about. So, but the other thing, and this was interesting to me, his emotional reaction was absolutely evident, right? And he acted like, I mean, let's be clear, he joined the Grizzlies this week, right?
Yes.
But he wasn't just rooting for himself. It felt like he'd been a Grizzly for a decade. The way that he cared about, the way that he reacted to team success. Can you just join a team and feel? I mean, it looked like it mattered deeply to him whether the Grizzlies won. And this is a team that he joined this week. Isn't it interesting? How can that work exactly?
My reaction was I saw a human being that was just so happy to be back.
That's
playing in the NBA on a team. Like all the things that, you know, that he had been removed from.
He was grateful to be back. There's no question that's true. I just thought it was interesting that I guess you just join a team and you immediately care deeply about that team.
You want to win.
I mean, he was chest bumping.
Absolutely. Like,
you know, he was pumped up about his team winning, and it only became his team 3 hours ago.
Yes.
But it was fun to watch, and it was like he will be a character, and makes this team that much more entrancing. And so it was a lot of fun. He also hit a couple of big shots. He got only 4 points. One was a tip-in putback, and one was a. Well, it was that sidewinder. Here are these two buckets.
Working on Montrezl Harrell. Feeds left corner Green. Catch and shoot three for the lead. No good. Tapped up by Noah. Tapped up and in by Noah. Missed the first tap. Tapped the second. Tied the game. 1 second remains. Beverly won't get the shot away. And we head to the fourth. All knotted up at 69 apiece. Conley spins it. Williams kicks it for Noah. Open 16-footer. Choke him, Noah, from the right side with a sidewinder jumper. Knocks it down. Not many coaches will teach you that one, but Noah knocks it down. He's got 4 in his debut.
Right, that's a shot, you have to take, Eric. Wide open shot in rhythm.
First of all, that was a critical moment of the game. Like, it wasn't just that he contributed. He contributed at a time when the Clippers had taken a lead. And he came in and he ejected energy, enthusiasm. Can we play that clip again? Hold on, but I'll tell you why. What I love about
Eric's reaction
clip is before, as the shot is being released, you hear Eric laughing. Literally, it's before the shot is leaving his hand, you hear this laugh embedded in it. Like, you can't quite believe, even though he's seen it a million times, he can't help our radio professional from laughing out loud.
Distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Laughing out loud. Here it is.
Conley spins it. Williams kicks it for Noah. Open 16-footer. Choking.
Let's try that again. One more time.
16-footer. Choke him, Noah, from the right side with a sidewinder jumper. Knocks it down. Oh, not many coaches will teach you that one, but Noah knocks it down. He's got 4 in his debut.
Man, that's a shot you have to take, Eric. Wide open shot in rhythm.
Did we mention Mike Conley was good? And he was, and the nice thing was, is that he carried the load early, and then he was one of the closers late. But he didn't actually have to do all the heavy lifting, and that was good. Here he is with a 3.
Out to Conley behind a screen. Fires a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board for Mike Conley.
Great execution that time.
I mentioned Garrett Temple did not have a great game. He did hit a 1-3 that mattered.
Gasol sets a screen on Conley's left. Conley turns the corner at the foul line. Jumps at left wing Temple. Open look at a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Garrett Temple, no stranger to being willing to take a big shot late in the game. He hadn't made one yet. He makes one here.
We, by the way, have not played you his only bucket and Mark's only bucket. The Grizz had a great fourth quarter after frittering it all away in the third. They outscored the Clippers 27-17 in the fourth quarter. Here's Jermichael Green.
Now Mark sets up on Harris. Double team comes. Gives for Jermichael Green. Open lane to the basket, and he jams with two hands.
Well, you can't say enough about Jermichael Green and his activity, Eric, finding those open spots. Even the shots that he's taken from three-point land, he's been wide open.
People have been asking for two things about Jaren Jackson Jr. lately. One is they've asked for him, a bunch of people have been asked for him to be in at closing time.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, Chris Harrington has specifically asked for him to be put in the game to just foul out. Like, let him use all his fouls.
You get six, use him.
Let's not have him sitting on the bench with five at the end of games. If you got six, use him. So he has five. JB puts him in the game, and he hits this critical three.
Conley into the lane. Left corner Jackson. Open three for the rookie. Ring it off. Put three on the board for Jaren Jackson Jr.
Wow, fantastic play by Mike Conley. Came out, Eric executed that play. They were very patient that time. And then great find by Mike Conley finding Jaren Jackson in the corner.
And then he immediately fouled out. But the point is that they didn't waste it.
Ask and you shall receive.
Right, exactly. Then he immediately fouled out. And I'll tell you, Shoving Mack, he was awesome at the start of the year.
Uh-huh.
Throughout the entire time, Chris Harrington was telling us he would regress to the mean. He did. And not only that, he was woeful through much of this game. But he was really good at the end. We don't have all of his the big shots he hit. He hit a bunch of big shots in the end, including 7 points in the last 5:30. Here's Leia.
15 seconds on the shot clock. Mack turns the corner, going to the basket, lays it up, lays it in. Good night, Los Angeles. Shelvin Mack has put this one away for the Grizz.
And so that was that. The Grizzlies got the win 96-86. And it was big because had they lost, it would have been 5 out of 6, right? Like, that's not good.
Not great.
5 out of 6 is not good. This is the kind of, when you're playing them at home, Western Conference foe, you have to do what the Grizzlies did. The Grizzlies have a rough game coming up against the Pelicans on the road. Pelicans murdered Dallas last night. The Clippers came back. The third quarter did not go the Grizzlies' way. Boban was unbelievable with 19 points. It looked like this. Honestly, it looked kind of like a replay of the game in Los Angeles where the Grizzlies owned the first half and then blew it. And you're thinking, oh, no, here we go again. But they did what they did. They were exactly what you want to see. Holding the Clippers to 86 points.
Yep.
Holding Clippers to 34% shooting, forcing 19 turnovers. It's a team that is that it averages 113 points a game, and they hold them to 86 points. The Grizzlies did what the Grizzlies intend to do. All right, who do we have for sound after the game?
Let's go to Marshawn Brooks.
That's a little Marshawn Brooks.
46 bench points tonight. We talked about the importance of matching what their bench could do. They've got a couple of very explosive players, and one of them wasn't supposed to be Boban Marjanovic, but you guys did a good job of extending the lead. They made the run, as NBA teams do. What did you guys talk about going into that fourth quarter with the score tied?
Going into the fourth quarter, we just wanted to make them work for everything. To hold a team like that to 86 points, I mean, that's just kudos.
Impressive.
That's just impressive and just a good job of our defense. Good game plan and trying to push Lou Will to his right hand. I think that worked out well for us.
Yeah, I think I'll piggyback on you on that. I mean, you look at Lou and what he did tonight, the defensive effort on him, but also the defensive effort that Kyle Anderson did on Tobias Harris. And then talk a little bit about Joakim Noah coming in and some of his production.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm surprised he came in such good shape, man. He had a real good practice yesterday. He didn't have, you know, in the NBA, we don't have too much time to practice. So he just learned the things on the fly. But one thing he's going to bring is that energy every single night. And that's good for our second unit, man. That's real good for our second unit. So we got him and Jay Mike in the second unit. That's tough for anybody to match up with.
Yep, solid effort tonight. I know Patrick Beverly was giving you a little lip service out there. That seems to fire you up, doesn't it? You like the trash talk.
Yeah, man. I told him ain't nothing there. He was going to try to pick up full court. I told him ain't nothing there this time.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Nice effort tonight for you. Thanks for
good
joining
job,
us, Marshawn. Appreciate
having
it, brother.
Man. Thanks for having me.
And we got JB Bickerstaff. Here's JB after the game.
Coach, you mentioned pregame about how Noah brought a new element in practice. What was it like seeing that out on the court for the first time?
I think it was fun. I mean, you think about it. We all felt it. You know, I think the building felt it. You know, there's an energy and an intensity that he plays with, you know, that people can build on and feed off of. You know, he's defensively, you know, his ability to, you know, control the ball, protect the paint. You know, switch on to smaller guys, you know, watching him and Mark play together, you know, although it was short spurt, but you know, you can see what those two guys together are capable of. I think it was a great start for him. We'll continue to build off of it.
JB, this wasn't a strong game for Mark by any stretch, but what does it say about Jermichael and some of the other supporting cast guys to step up in a game like this?
Well, I mean, you know, that's who we are, and that's kind of who we've been and who we've the picture we've tried to paint as a group is we don't need just one guy to dominate offensively. You know, Mark may have struggled with his shooting, but his presence was felt defensively. And that's, you know, again, who he is. He can impact the game on both ends of the floor. And no matter what's going on, you know, with him offensively, if he has an off night, he makes up for it on the defensive end. You know, being able to protect, you know, all of his teammates, protect the paint, you know, and force people and teams into tough positions.
JB, having played these guys twice now, do you get the sense that there's a rivalry between the Grizzlies and the Clippers?
I think there's a mutual respect, you know, and having conversation with their coaches, you know, some of their players. You know, I know the history between the organizations. You know, so many of the faces have changed. You know, I don't know if you would consider it a rivalry, but each team wants to beat each other, you know, badly. And I think we bring out the best in one another. But, you know what I mean, there is that respect of both teams going into the season. I think a lot of people overlooked us both. And, you know, I've got a lot of respect for Doc and Sam and Rex and those guys on their staff. And then, obviously, you know, the relationships I have with Patrick Beverly and Montrezl Harrell. You know, Gallinari, like those guys. So there's a lot of respect there. But it's a healthy respect where when the competition kicks off, you know, both teams are trying to whoop each other.
JB, Jared had the fifth foul. You brought him back in, even though Jermichael had been playing well. Hits the corner three to extend the lead, then fouls out the next possession. Seems like earlier in the season he may not have come back in that situation. Is that sort of a sign of the evolution of him as a player and how the team is using him?
Yeah, it's a sign of his growth. And how we feel about him in late game situations and how he's improved in that area. You know, obviously, we didn't want to run Jermichael the whole quarter. We know he needed a blow. You know, but Jaren has the ability to kind of pop off quickly, you know, and make some good things happen. Like you saw the corner three. You know, he's got, you know, spurt ability on the offensive end of the floor where, you know, two, three possessions, he could do something. You know, to build you a 6-8, you know, point little bump there. But again, you know, now you go back to the other end of the floor and, you know, he's guarding guys that are out in space like Gallinari. So now growing to a point where you leave your feet second and you don't allow him to give you that pump fake and draw your six, you know. So, you know, those are things that he's learning. And, you know, again, being a guy who protected the paint your whole life, now having to come out here and guard guys like Gallinari on the perimeter, it's going to take a little bit of time to learn all those tricks. But, again, him being in the game has shown that he has grown in that department.
JB, foul trouble may have dictated some of it in matchups, but when you look at the distribution of the rotation, 10 guys play between 13 and 32 minutes. Is that ideal? Do you see that as probably how you want to play this thing?
Yeah, I think so. I take full responsibility for it. You know, I was putting Mike and Mark, you know, in extreme minutes. but I've got to do a better job with the rotation, you know, having confidence in our guys and the depth that we do have, and try to scale those guys back. You know, we're in this, you know, for the long haul. We want those guys as fresh as we possibly can. So, you know, 34, 35 minutes for those two is good. You know, same thing with Garrett. You know, I've been pushing him. So it's good to be able to pull those guys back some, and we have the depth to do it. So I just have to make sure I'm pulling those triggers.
All right, we are late to get to Steve White. We're going to take a break now. We will be back to talk to Steve when we come back. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Men, there is an amazing amount of attention being paid to erectile dysfunction and new ways to get pills, but did you know that those little blue pills, no matter how fancy the package, don't work for every man? And did you know that over time, the responsiveness ED pills promise can wear out and the nasty side effects can increase? Well, the Memphis Men's Clinic wants you to know that there are other ways to treat your ED. New drug-free treatments that promise more spontaneity and long-term results. Come in for an appointment with our doctors and let us show you the newest treatment option for ED, wave therapy. Wave therapy uses the power of sound to improve blood flow, which delivers a long-term answer for ED. Call 901-443-0304 to schedule your $99 office visit at the Memphis Men's Clinic. Call Memphis Men's Clinic today, 901-443-0304, for treatment that goes beyond pills. Improve your performance. Improve your life.
Hey, Tennessee. GEICO presents Need to Know Information, because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
Yesterday, I did nothing but eat potato chips and ice cream and listen to 80s emo music.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing GEICO is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
I only floss my teeth twice a year when the dentist does it for me.
Again, not really needed. But knowing GEICO offers more than just car insurance is important. Like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
Sometimes I act like I'm texting someone, but I'm really just taking a bunch of selfies.
And not needed. But you should know GEICO has local agents in your area that could help you find even more ways to save. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So Tennessee, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
When the deadline clock is ticking, an unreliable network can cost your business money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast, and we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction accidentally knocks out the power, you can still upload that big presentation, email important clients, invoice customers, and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 12/31/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra, subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
Howie, Robert Irwin Jewelers is always on the cutting edge, and you've done it again.
We brought you a new choice in diamonds. We've got altar-created diamonds exclusively at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and what that does for you is give you the opportunity to save 25 to 30% and get a bigger and brighter diamond.
And how is that possible?
Altar-created diamonds are grown above ground, making them environmentally friendly and 100% conflict-free.
Howie, can you tell the difference?
What difference? They're both diamonds. See for yourself only at Robert Irwin Jewelers with free financing.
This is Gary Parrish from The Gary Parrish Show, weekdays from 4 to 6 here on 92.9 FM ESPN, and you know the holiday season is here. And one thing on lots of people's wish list is a computer, so if you know somebody like that and you're looking for the lowest prices and best service, go check my friends at Cooper Systems. You know Cooper Systems, Lee Cooper, Lauren Cooper. They've been with me for years, and you guys, listeners of this station, have helped grow their business because you keep going there when you need a new computer, a refurbished computer, or a custom-built computer because you know they have prices starting as low as $189. Cooper Systems has brands like Apple, HP, Dell, Gateway, Toshiba, Sony, and more.
desktops, notebooks, tablets, and printers. They really do have it all at Cooper Systems. And don't ever forget, if you need service on your computer, then Cooper Systems can help you too. In-shop diagnostic rates start as low as $24.99. So don't be frustrated by a bogged-down computer. Let Cooper Systems help get you cleaned up the way you ought to be. Go see them in the Mount Moriah office park or call them 360-9679 or visit them at coopersystems.com.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
You hear the phrase a lot this time of year, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. But holidays are not always happy, particularly for guys grappling with a divorce that they didn't choose. Suddenly, these husbands and dads are thrust onto battlefields where the fate of everything they care about will be decided. In the meantime, they must await the outcome in someone else's home this holiday season. These men need more than the help of a good lawyer. They need the hope and encouragement of a good friend. Chances are I've described someone that you count among your friends. Be sure to remember him this season.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys. A partner men can count on. 901-362-3666. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
Are you noticing cracks in the walls of your home, maybe floors that are sinking or sloping a bit? It could be signs of a foundation problem. If you have a foundation problem, you got a serious problem, which means you need to call Redeemers Group. Redeemers Group handles foundation repair, crawl space repair, basement waterproofing, concrete leveling, and inspections are free, so there's no harm in calling, which is why you should call. And if you ultimately decide to proceed with the project, you can mention my name, Gary Parrish, and get $50 off. The number is 901-451-8765. That's Redeemers Group on the web, redeemersgroup.com.
Make your holiday entertaining a breeze with help from your Kroger Deli. You'll find great party platters, desserts, and more. Visit Kroger.com/order online today.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9 ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined up by Steve White. Steve White, Westwood High School, prior to Westwood High School, went to University of Tennessee, played for the Tampa Bay Bucks and the New York Jets. You can read his stuff now at SB Nation, and you should, and follow him on Twitter at SGW94. We're a little bit late to get to Steve, but he joins me now. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. I was just going to give you some extra time to think about what you were going to say about the Cowboys' performance last week when they stunned all of us. Let's be clear, not just you, but all of us by what they did to the Saints.
Right. I mean, they made me eat a little bit of crow last week. I definitely will give them their props for that. Their defense, especially, just really shut down the Saints' offense in a way that I didn't think was possible at this point without Drew Brees or Alvin Kamara getting hurt. So, you know, I definitely give them all the credit in the world for their performance. I still don't think that much of them is the team. But we'll see. Right now they're hot. Their defense is playing well. They got the wide receiver from the Raiders, and he's playing well. So, right now, I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, I guess there is a reason to be optimistic. Plus, they're in the sorriest division in football right now, so they might end up winning the division.
Before I get to the game, some more things. Obviously, Kareem Hunt released, passed through waivers. When do you think he'll be in a training camp next year? And if you were a GM, Steve, what would you do with a Kareem Hunt of the world?
Well, he's probably going to be on the roster next year. You know, you look at how long it took for them to act this time around.
Right.
And even then, it was only after the public video pressure because of the video coming out. And this is a situation. I mean, you know, the thing of it is, guys like Kareem Hunt, if they were punished right off the bat appropriately, then you wouldn't have all of this backlash in the first place. So they're going to suspend them for however long. It won't matter because no team will sign until the offseason anyway. But they'll do a major, you know, rehabilitation of his character. I'm sure the agent will get him some interviews, and then they'll rebuild it and get somebody to sign him. Just like the kid, I mean, look at the kid from the 49ers. Just that same week, had gotten picked up by Washington after his second alleged domestic violence incident with the same exact woman. Look, if you want to say, hey, this woman lied on him before, which a lot of times is not that the victim is lying, is that they're recounting their abuse allegations because they want to stay with the person who is abusing them. This is a common thing with if you talk to any law enforcement, a lot of women recant their allegations because either they're afraid of their abuser or they want to go back to them. And so if you're saying to me, well, she lied on him before, well, then what is he doing around her at all again? They weren't in San Francisco. They were here in Tampa. So she flew here probably on his dime to Tampa, and you're telling me he's not responsible for something? And yet he still got picked up just, I think, on waivers. I don't even think he had to wait any time. Washington put in a waiver claim. So if they'll pick up a guy like the kid from 49ers, his name escapes me right.
Reuben Foster.
If they'll pick him up, then of course they're going to pick up Kareem Hunt, who led the league in rushing and was leading the league this year in total yards from scrimmage. Of course they're going to pick him up. But the question is, should they? And that's the question that we have to struggle with because, like I said, if you handle this right from the beginning, then maybe people look at it as though, okay, they came down on him hard, they suspended him X amount of games, and now it's over with. But now it feels like, you know, because you didn't punish him right off the bat, people want him to be banned indefinitely. So, you know, you got to kind of find a way to balance that out. But at the end of the day, none of this will be an issue if guys will keep their damn hands to themselves. It's that simple. Walk away, run away if you have to. Do whatever you have to do not to put your hands on a woman, and we aren't having this discussion today.
Let's be honest. The only reason that one player passes through waivers and another player does not, Reuben Foster is picked up from off of waivers and Kareem Hunt is not, is there's video of Kareem Hunt and there's no video of Reuben Foster. If there had been video of Reuben Foster, he wouldn't have picked up on waivers, I believe. It is the whole thing is fairly remarkable the way it plays out. All right, let me ask you another question. Packers obviously fire Mike McCarthy. They fire Winston Moss. Winston Moss tweets out that it's all about having a coach who will hold people, including Aaron Rodgers, basically accountable. What did you make of that? And what does it mean to hold Aaron Rodgers? Was it sour grapes, or is there something weird about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, now, the term of that, I thought that he sent the tweet and then he got fired.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And some people thought he got fired because of the tweet. Evidently, the interim head coach, Philbin, fired him. He said it was about more than just that tweet. But, you know, if you're an assistant coach, I don't know very many assistant coaches that tweet much anyway. So, you know, I'm kind of surprised to find out he even had Twitter. But then to kind of take a shot at the leadership, I don't know if he was talking about McCarthy after he got fired or if he was talking about Philbin, who exactly he was talking about. And that's part of the problem right there. If you're in leadership, it kind of seems like no matter who you are, he's pointing the finger at you. So you can't necessarily have a guy who's under you, even though it's technically, you know, just a technicality right now. But if you're Philbin, you can't have anybody even give the illusion that they don't support you right now. So I understand why they fired Winston Moss. I just don't understand why he sent the tweet in the first place.
Right. I don't know why he would. By the way, he played for the Bucs, didn't he? Did he need an overlap with you, Winston Moss? At one point, he played for the Bucs, I think.
I think it was before me.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I think he played for the Packers. He actually played for the Packers for a little while, I believe.
Yeah, he did. That's true, too.
I don't know him, but I definitely would have tried to take his phone from him if I did.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't a good idea sending that tweet out.
It was not a good idea sending that tweet out. Where are you on Lamar Jackson? You a believer?
Oh, yeah, I've been a believer in Lamar Jackson. But he's still going to have his up and down. He's had ups and downs all these three games that they won. And that's why I hate quarterback stats as a statistic in the first place, quarterback wins a statistic in the first place, because a lot of times it's the defense that's winning the game for you. You know, he had a couple interceptions the last two games that could have been a big deal, but his defense stood up and had his back. So I believe in him, but he still has a way to go. Like, I'm not going into this with blinders on. He still has a way to go as a passer. He still has to kind of make sure he doesn't get outside of himself when he's trying to do a little bit too much and then end up throwing in the coverage. And he has to get his fundamentals right still. But you see the playmaking ability. You see him making throws that people said he couldn't make when he was coming out of college. So from that standpoint, just to see him even get a little bit of redemption right away as a rookie is good for me to see, because so many people came down and made it seem like this kid just could not possibly play quarterback in the NFL. And then they go out there. And to be honest with you, the Ravens look to be out of it. Now they're making a push for the playoffs. So, I mean, if this kid keeps playing well enough for them to win, I don't see how they take him out of the lineup.
Now, I'm not saying this because I'm a believer in Josh Allen, because I'll be honest, I'm not. I'm a skeptic. But isn't everything you just said about Lamar Jackson also true about Josh Allen? He needs to work on his fundamentals, but he's a playmaker, does things with his legs. And yet you seem to be a believer in Lamar Jackson, but not necessarily in Josh Allen.
Well, no, you haven't listened to me there. I'm asking.
I'm asking,
me
Steve.
Like everybody else. I said from the get-go, I didn't do any quarterback work on Josh Allen. Everybody else had opinions on him. I take them as they come. When the preseason rolled around, what I said was he's going to end up making more plays with his legs than with his arms right now, because he's really good at running the ball and he's a big kid. But right now, he's going to be hit or miss on his throws. Some of them are going to be fantastic. Some of them are going to have the Price is Right fail horn in the background playing. So, and that's kind of how it's played out. I mean, the dude ran for 139 yards on just 9 carries last week, and most of those were scrambles. So what I actually liken him to Cam Newton. And it makes sense when you look at it from this. Once I actually got to look at him, it made perfect sense, because his head coach was a defense coordinator down there in Carolina. He got to see the way Cam developed from a run-first kind of guy to a guy who had an arm but kind of had to learn how to harness it, and to what he became and what he is right now, a guy who's won, the league MVP and taking his team to a Super Bowl even though they lost. So I can see exactly why they fell in love with Josh Allen, but at some point he's going to have to make those steps as a passer just the way Cam did, and we have to talk about him the same way we talk about Cam. So, yeah, he has a ton of potential, and, man, when he actually is on point, when his accuracy is good, he can throw a ball, you know, on the money 50 yards down the field. But then you also have plays like the one at the end where he can't hit his tight end, who is literally wide open to win the game in the end zone at the end of the game. And he had about 4 other misses in the game just like that one. So he still has a way to go. I'm just being honest about the kid. I think some other people were a little overly critical of him coming out, but I actually never did any film work on him to have an opinion until he got to the league. So for me, I'm taking him as he is. I like him as a runner right now. I really think they should be running him more because he's that much of a weapon with his legs.
Let me get some of the games. We'll start tonight because Tennessee's involved. Jacksonville at Tennessee. What do you think?
It's a toss-up. I'm going to go with Tennessee just because they're at home. But, I mean, it's a toss-up. Mariota's kind of up and down right now.
Okay. I guess the most interesting game of the week, Rams at Chicago. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. I mean, you got the Rams playing in the cold in Chicago, and you got Chicago, their second-year quarterback is supposed to be back this week, Mitch Trubisky. So there's a lot going on, but I just think that, you know, until I see somebody really shut those Rams down on offense, I'm going to go with the Rams.
Baltimore at KC is kind of interesting. It would be less. It would be more interesting if it was not at Kansas City, I think. But as you point out, Baltimore's back in it. What do you think?
Yeah, see, this is a game where I think, you know, you're going to see Lamar kind of get exposed a little bit, because as good as Baltimore's defense is, I don't see them shutting down the Chiefs this week. And so, you know, Lamar's going to have to play from behind a little bit. They won't be able to run lean on the run the way they have these last 3 weeks. And so, you know, I think he has a chance of getting kind of exposed this week. If he has to throw the football in the second half, I think it ends up being a blowout.
Minnesota at Seattle. You surprised by Seattle?
I am surprised by both of these teams because I thought Minnesota would be winning more and I thought Seattle would be winning less. But one of the keys to Seattle's success has been Fluker, the right guard they picked up. He's kind of had a resurgence there. He got hurt last week. So that might be a huge deal for them because he's been such a big a difference maker in the run game and getting their running game going. And now they're back to a team that is a run-first team, and then they let Russell make plays with his legs and his arm on third down. So if they don't have Fluker in there, that kind of changes who they are, period. And, you know, that Minnesota defensive line is not playing. So, you know, I kind of am leaning towards the Vikings, but I just can't trust them this year. I mean, Kirk Cousins got in there, and, I mean, he's got the statistics going, but the team wins haven't come the way everybody thought they would. So, yeah, it's hard to trust them right now. This is kind of a toss-up game for me, too.
So Houston hosts Indianapolis, and the Chargers host Cincinnati, and both will be favored, I'm certain, are favored. Are you more of a believer in Houston at this point or in the Chargers at this point? They're not playing each other, but they both sort of are like sneaky contenders to get to the Super Bowl. Do you believe more in Houston or in the Chargers?
I kind of believe more in Houston with a caveat, just because I think at some point it's going to come down to the mobility of the quarterback. And Phillip Rivers, for as fantastic he is, if you get him to a point where he has to move around, he's in trouble. So I think that's going to be an issue. But at the same time, you have Deshaun Watson, who's in, you know, he's a threat to be injured because of the way he plays the game. I mean, it's just a natural part of it. He runs a lot. He could get hurt. And if, with no Deshaun Watson, the Houston has no chance. He's the thing that makes that offense go and look as smooth as it does. A regular quarterback will look awful in that offense because that offense really isn't very good. Even with the talented players in it, that scheme is very, very basic. He kind of makes it go being able to move around in the pocket and allow his receivers to get open after they run their route initially and they aren't. So, I mean, you have to worry about the injury situation with Houston, but if they stay healthy, if both teams stay healthy, I'm more of a believer in Houston because, man, look, their defense is playing awesome now. They got Watt and Clowney coming after you with Whitney Merciless. I just think that right now, you look, you know, pound for pound, I think Houston is the better team overall.
And then last question. In New Orleans at Tampa isn't that interesting, I don't think, because most people assume that New Orleans is going to come in and get this figured out and win again. But what is happening in Tampa? They had an astonishing win. They got four picks last week against Cam and Carolina. Jameis is back in. What is happening with the Bucs? Is there a chance that Jameis will stay with them? And what is happening right now down there?
Well, the biggest thing as far as the offensive turnaround is they just aren't turning the ball over anymore. And that was the biggest thing. Jameis couldn't stop throwing picks. And then when Fitzpatrick got in, he couldn't stop throwing picks. When they aren't turning the football over, and since they fired the defense coordinator, their defense has played a lot better. But once they start turning the football over, the defense wears down quickly because they don't have a lot of depth. This one kid, Adams, I think his name is, came out of nowhere last week, though. Like, I hadn't even heard of him. And he had, like, two or three interceptions on Cam. So some of it has been out of necessity. They've had to give other guys a chance, and other guys are making plays on defense. But a lot of it has just been the turnovers. That is the biggest difference since Winston has come back into the lineup again. He's not turned the football over, and he's given his team a chance to win. Do I think they win this week? Nah, I think, you know, had New Orleans not gotten that wake-up call last week, maybe Tampa would have caught them slipping. But I have a feeling, you know, New Orleans kind of want to go out there and make a statement this week that last week was an aberration. So it could be a bad week to be a Bucs fan again.
Steve, thank you very much. We will talk to you next week. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That is the great Steve White. So it's getting that time in the shopping season where you're starting to feel just a little nervous that you haven't done more, right? That you feel like everyone else is out there and has done it. And you're just starting to feel like, oh, man, I got it. And if you're listening to me, you doubtless have a daughter or a wife or a girlfriend or a mother or a sister. I think pretty much everyone it falls into one of those categories, in which case I have the solution for you. Go to GouldSalonSpa.com or to go to any of the many Gould's locations around town and get a gift certificate, and you will rest easy, and she will be thrilled. And she will then also, you get the thrill of when you present the gift, and then you also get the gratitude and thrill of when she actually uses the gift. It is a win-win. Gould's is, as I've said, it is the oldest family-owned spa in the country, and it's the only place in Memphis where you can get the whole deal. Yeah, you can get your massage anywhere, you can get your haircut anywhere, but whatever. You can go in and have the spa experience. Relaxed massages, wraps, facials, manicures, pedicures, hair services, all of that. They have these half-day packages or day packages where you can get a catered lunch. Tranquility and peacefulness in the back of every Gould's. It's really a remarkable place, and I'm telling you, it is a sure win. You can also get it with beautiful packaging, come in a little box, so you have something to present as well. I'm here with a solution for you.